You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own
Welcome
research.
Welcome to Macro Micro News for Monday, the 21st of October, 2024. Desperate, rich Brits seeking homes abroad in record numbers, say estate agents. Super rich Brits are looking at properties in popular expat destinations in record numbers. Several leading estate agents have told City AM as they prepare to flee in desperation from any punitive measures introduced by next week's budget. And apparently inquiries to luxury property specialist Christie's International Real Estate Dubai have trebled in recent months, one agent said, while Portuguese agents Cerro Novo and DDM both claimed interest from rich Brits was at levels not seen since the pandemic. Now, there's a pushback on this. I've seen on social media people saying, oh, good riddance, slam the door on your way out. But the thing is, it's not good for Labour policy. You know, they've talked about this £22 billion black hole. These people, these high net worths, pay a lot more tax than the average person. Five, six times, sometimes 10 times as much tax. So even taking a lower estimate, this means you'd have to create five jobs to recoup the tax for every one of these high net worths that leave the country. So it's not good economic policy. And there's also rumours now that business relief is to be scrapped for entrepreneurs. I just think, off the back of the news coming out, I would be very surprised, if Labour don't scrap business relief on AIM shares. I fully expect it's going to happen. Let's be honest, they've raised national insurance. This was a manifesto pledge. Now, they got around it by stating some technicality, saying, we're not going to increase on working people, not on working people. Small business owners are working people. They employ people. It's going to increase their cost of business. That's not a growth policy. So that was an out-and-out lie. They've increased national insurance for working people. Now, they reckon, there's some reports from Peel Hunt and some other companies there, that if they do scrap business relief on AIM, it could see 6 billion of outflow of shares being sold. This is because many funds have IHT funds, which is set up to invest in AIM stock to avoid or take advantage of business relief. Now, how much is that, 6 billion? Well, the total market capitalization of AIM is around about 75, 80 billion. So that's 8% of the total market capitalization of AIM. And AIM has already been battered. So there may be trouble ahead. And I say, I fully expect them to scrap business relief. Now, you've got to sort of make a definition here. There are two different types of companies, profitable and loss-making. If they do scrap this, then there'll be a wider sell-off on AIM. This will make it harder for companies to raise capital should they need to. This will affect their operations. But for profitable cash generative companies who have no need of finance, then this could be an opportunity. It will bounce back because it's not going to affect their operations. They are generating their own cash. They don't need the cash of shareholders. So if I were you, that's what I'm doing. I'm targeting great businesses, good businesses that are cash generative. And I think I'm fully expecting a dip in these shares. But I see that as a buying opportunity. When will it turn round? Is that the question you asked? I think post-presidential election, post-Bank of England recent interest rates should bring some more life back to AIM. And then we are on, you know, a trajectory of lower interest rates. So I think the market will rebound November, December, and may see a rally into the new year. I'm not sure about if this will happen. Obviously, if you're trying to raise money, if you're a loss-making company, that's a different story. But I'm talking about profitable companies here. Like I said, with every negative, there's always a positive. I'm trying to look on the positive side. By the way, this podcast looks at economic data relevant to the UK and news releases from revenue-generating UK microcap stocks. These are companies with a market capitalization below 100 million. By the way, I've not mentioned this. My book, How to Become a Microcap Millionaire, a three-step strategy for stock market success, is now available on pre-order. It's released on the 30th of December. By all means, if you get any value from this podcast, please pre-order it. It would impress my my publisher, Harriman House, thanks to them. And maybe I'll get to write another book. Who knows? So just search for How to Become a Microcap Millionaire, and you should find it on Amazon, Waterstones. What else is there? All good bookstores. In fact, let me give you a list because I've been told I must talk about other companies. You can get it from Harriman House, their website. This is harriman.house, books for Waterstones, W.H. Smith's, and bookshop.org. So if you can, please, just pick up a copy. It's worth it. It's a good read, I think. I'm probably biased. I've got skin in the game. By the way, if you listen to this podcast on a regular basis, I've asked you for enough. That's fine. Don't worry about giving a review. If you want to, please do. Okay, let's look at the market right now. Where are we? FTSE 100. It is down close to a third of 1% to 8,335. FTSE 250, it's down 0.65% to 21,013. The FTSE small caps down a third of 1% to 6,941. What about the AIM All Share? It's down! Surprise, surprise. 0.4% to 737. There is a support level around about 733. I reckon it's going to break below that. The only way it won't break below that, the only way we have a rally is if Labour leak somewhere that they're not scrapping business relief on AIM. But if they don't mention it, it's going to happen. And I think just the worry of the sentiment, of it happening will drag the indices lower. Commodities. So Brent crude, it's up a smidge. Well, I say a smidge. It's quite a bit today, actually. 1.9% to $74 a barrel. You've got copper. It's trying to move up here. And it's on $9,766 a ton. But the star of the commod world, and I've said this for many, many weeks now, gold is hitting an all-time highs again. And it's at $2,752 an ounce. That's the highest it's ever been, and I think it'll continue. Okay, let's look at some macro news. Story number one, asking prices for UK homes barely rise in October. This is from Rightmove. So asking prices for British homes rose only marginally in October as more properties came onto the market. That also suggested some buyers are waiting for clarity on tax changes in the new government's upcoming budget. Yeah, but they won't kick in until, I suppose, now, if you buy a house now. Even if it's a new financial year, April, you'll get it. Surely a house will go through in that time, won't it? You get a house done. Asking prices rose by just 0.3% in October, well below the average 1.3% monthly increase for the month. Property website Rightmove said, the number of homes available for sale was 12% higher than the same period last year and was the highest per real estate agent since 2014. That's interesting. Overall activity in the property market remained strong with buyer demand rising. Prices were 1% higher than a year earlier. Tim Bannister, Rightmove's Director of Property Science. Property Science? Wow. That's a fancy title, isn't it? Property science. What the heck are you talking about? Properties. Did he walk around in a lab coat with pens in his top pocket there in a line and a clipboard? Anyway, he says, Tim says, once we have more certainty about the contents of the budget, hopefully followed by speedy second and third bank rate cuts, we could see another surge in the market optimism like we had in the summer. These figures chimed with other indicators of Britain's housing sector that have shown momentum picking up. Mortgage lenders Halifax and Nationwide both reported rises in house prices in September. The real stimulator in the market, the central banks. Absolutely. Once they reduce interest rates, it'll start moving. Everything starts moving. And you, like I said, just having moved house like 3 months ago, you understand how much you buy of everything for a new house. And you realise, you know, if you've got a buoyant housing market, the amount of stimulation going through the economy is phenomenal. Phenomenal. So that's what we need to see. And that's going to happen. Let's be honest. There's a 90% chance now of, I think, 2 rate reductions from the Bank of England this year. So it's at least half a percentage point. Story number 2. City of London job vacancies fell 17% year-on-year, data shows. War, inflation and Britain's departure from the European Union led to a 17% fall in job vacancies in London's financial services sector in the third quarter versus the same time a year ago, recruitment Morgan McKinley said. Mark Asprey, associate director of Morgan McKinley, also said hiring was likely to remain subdued because of the Labour government's budget on October the 30th, Halloween. Britain's exit from the EU cost London's financial centre about 40,000 jobs, the Lord Mayor of the City of London told Reuters last week, a deeper impact compared with previous estimates. And story number 3, Rachel Reeves, a junior assistant in the Bank of England, junior researcher, I should say. I think it's phenomenal. She boasts about that. It's amazing what you can get, isn't it? People just attach Bank of England without doing any further research. You think, wow, she was, you know, in charge of interest policy and all that. She wasn't. She's just write research notes. A junior. Didn't even make it to the top team. Didn't make it to the A team. She was a B or C team. Anyway, Rachel Reeves could borrow £80 billion over the next 5 years, lenders say. Rachel Reeves could borrow an extra £80 billion to fund government spending on infrastructure and green energy, according to lenders. The Chancellor is trying to convince investors in UK government bonds, also known as gilts, that they can support tens of billions of pounds in additional borrowing without triggering a Liz Truss-style market panic. Liz Truss, you can't trust her. Liz Truss is still completely unapologetic for that. She said it wasn't anything to do with her. To be fair, it wasn't all to do with her. I mean, you know, some of these pension funds were leveraged up. She hit the first domino, pretty much. An assessment by Lloyds Bank Group has now found they'll be willing to lend the government £80 billion more of gilts over the next 5 years for productive infrastructure investment. So that's a good sign. The fast borrowing could help plug an alleged, yeah, it is alleged, £22 billion black hole. We've got a black hole left by the Conservative government. Oh, we'll put more money in your pocket. Smash the gags. On top of spending cuts, this is expected to be unveiled in Labour's major budget on the 30th of October. Lloyds, which is among the biggest market makers for gilts, warned a sum of £80 billion could only be unlocked if Reeves is clear about her plans and does not rush to borrow billions immediately. Other major players in the market have said investors could buy up to £25 billion gilts over the remainder of this year if they have to, if they have clarity on the plans. The news follows reports last week that Wall Street titan Goldman Sachs and European investor Amundi were growing more favourable towards gilts. That's good news. Okay, micro news. Brand Architects, BAR ticker, a market leader in the development and supply of beauty and personal care brands, announces full year results to the 30th of June 2024. Are they a market leader? Are they? Market cap, 7 million. Sales, 17 million, down 15% from 20.1 due to the planned brand rationalisation programme, as well as challenging trading conditions in the UK caused by cost of living crisis and unseasonably wet spring and early summer. There's always a reason, isn't there? That's not anything to do with the company. It's a cost of living crisis. To be fair, I am seeing a lot of companies profit warn. I think more than normal. So that's the way the economy's heading. Unless interest rates come down, it's going to get harder. The Bank of England have to realise this. Stop looking in the rearview mirror. Anyway, loss before tax. So sales of 17 versus 20. Loss before tax, 1.4 versus 6.8 last year. So it's improved, but reflects a reduced operating loss of 800,000 together with a reduction in exceptional items. This is Innovaderma goodwill impairment of 3.5 million, which is acquired, legal fees of 700k, and IDP restructuring costs of 400k. Then a net cash position of 7 million at year end. This is versus 8.2 last year. So they have lost some cash there. 1 million of outflow for the acquisition of MR and the resolution of legal claims and costs relating to the fish acquisition in 2018. I assume fish is a brand, not just buying fish. So they are, you know, in a bull market, this was rally. They've got 7 million in cash, their market cap is 7 million, but their operation is still making a loss. So that cash can be expected to be, you know, reduced over time. Next, Ensilica, ENSI, a leading chip maker of mixed signal application-specific integrated circuits, or ASICs, is pleased to announce it's been awarded an ASIC design service contract with a prestigious supplier of power and propulsion systems using the air, at sea and on land. The circa £2 million contract will commence in November 2024 with revenues to run into the company's next financial year, supporting market expectations for both periods. So they've got a market cap of $46 million. They are going to be releasing, I think it's the 5th of November, results then. And they seem to be releasing more news before these results, which always makes me a little bit suspicious. But I suppose, you know, they can't time these contracts. You know, it's market relevant or market sensitive. So the forecast, by the way, they did say they're in line with market expectations. Revenue for 2024 is expected to be $25 million. Loss before tax of $20K. But 2025, 30.2 million top line. This is up from 2025. And a profit for tax of 2.5. And that's expected to grow again in 2026. So maybe worth keeping an eye on it in Silica. ENSI. Next, Hardide, HDD, the provider of advanced surface treatment solutions, is pleased to announce an update on trading for the financial year ended 30th of September. They've got a market cap of 4.3 million, revenue of 4.7 for the year versus 5.5. Again, I don't know why they're pleased to announce this. They say adjusted EBITDA is anticipated close to break even for the year. Last year, they did minus 100K. And they say the improved trading momentum in H2, combined with the benefit of margin improvement and cost reduction actions taken early in the year, enabled the group to generate an anticipated adjusted EBITDA positive result of around about 400K in H2 at an adjusted EBITDA margin of around about 15%. The group's cash balance as at the 30th of September 2024 was 700K, same as last year. Hardide began to trade at net cash positive levels towards the end of the financial year as expected. The cash break-even point of the group is now just over 5 million. So they're going to do 4.7 this year. 5 million, a significant reduction compared with the previous years due to management's profit improvement and overhead reduction initiatives. Oh, by the way, I've not been saying that the share prices of these companies. Let's just go back and have a look at them. So Brand Architects is down 1.18% to 25 pence. Ensilica, 2% to 49 pence. Hardide is up 1.2% to 5.45 pence. Next bit of news is from Light Science Technologies. And this comprises of three divisions: controlled environment agricultural, contract electronic manufacturing, and passive fire protection. And they announced significant follow-on order from an existing customer in its Passive Fire Production Division worth $1.17 million. The customer, a construction services company based in Manchester, has placed a further order for injected cavity remediation in two additional residential tower blocks. This is quite interesting, actually, because we know now from after Grenfell the amount of remedial work going on to sort this out. So this could be, maybe a bit of a money spinner for them. This order, which will be completed in H1 2025, follows from the first project with the same customer, where the PFP division has now completed 520K of an order worth 600,000. So their market cap is around about 9 million. Its unaudited interim results for the 6 months ended 31st of May recently, they had revenue of 5.2 million for the period, up 19.3%, loss before tax reduced by 58.4% to 300K versus 800K loss, and group cash as of the 30th of May were 1.05 million, with additional undrawn funds available, approximately half a million under debt facilities with Close Brothers. So they are improving, by the looks of it. The growth there, losses coming down, LST is ticker. Are they rising today? Yes, they are. They're up a bit further than this today, but they're up 6.9%, 2.78 pence. What's next? Oh, Merit Group, MRIT. The AIM-listed data and intelligence business today issues an update on trading for 6 months ended 30th of September and expected performance for the full financial year ended 31st of March 2025. So their market cap now, after today's fall, I'll tell you what that is in a bit. Revenues are 9 million, down 6% on the 9.9 reported for the comparative period. Adjusted EBITDA of around 1.2 million versus 1.8. The group had net debt of 2.3 million as of the 30th of September. This is down from 2.5. But they say they have available facilities of 3.7. And they say, based on current trading, revenue for the full year to 31st of March is now expected to be around about 18.5 million, 8% down on last year. Loss before tax and non-recurring items for the year is expected to be around 800K, where last year they did a profit of 1.2 million. So it's dropped by two million there. They've also announced the resignation of its chief technology officer and managing director, Merit Data and Technology, Cornelius Conlon. Share price there is down 40% today to 36 pence. Wow. Yeah. Issuing serious profit warnings in this market. Well, I was going to say it's to be avoided. Yeah, I suppose you can't avoid it, can you? And lastly, OneSpatial, SPA, a global leader in location master data management software and solutions, has now entered into a 12-month contract valued at £1 million with Surrey County Council for its One Streetworks SaaS solution. One Streetworks cloud-based SaaS solution is the first in the market to fully automate the production of traffic management plans, diversion routing, and asset inventory lists. So they've got a market cap of 74 million. Forecasts are for revenue 35.8 million versus 32.3, so a bit of growth there. And a profit for tax of 1.7 versus 1.05 million. At their interims, they had cash of 3.11 million, which is down from 4.26. But so they're not cheap. But I do like the tech there, but they're not certainly not cheap. Maybe you've got to pay up for that tech, but who knows. Like I said, my book is now on pre-order. Just search for How to Become a Microcap Millionaire. And hopefully you get that. It'll be much appreciatos if you ordered that. Thanks for listening. Speak you tomorrow.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.